Hi everyone, Sam here. Before we get into the thick of things, I would like to warn everyone that this episode may contain some sensitive topics, possibly triggering material. For a description of what that material is, please check the episode description. Alright, thanks. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, it's Gibbs. Last time on Prism Pals, I went to a festival, and it was a lot of fun. That is, until Holland, Vayu, Elsie, and I got a tarot card reading that was really, really scary. And to make everything worse, when we left, we heard a scream. Who screamed? Well, listen to find out, I guess.
So, at the very end of the last episode, you guys had your fortune told, and you heard a scream as you appeared outside of where this wagon used to be a few hours after when you entered it. What do you all want to do?
We just heard the scream, right?
Yep, you just heard a scream. Well, Elsie heard the scream.
Oh, just...
Does Elsie share this information? Please say yes.
If I heard a scream, I would say no. If I heard the scream, Elsie would just start running towards wherever the scream was.
All right. Elsie starts running.
Okay. I'm gonna follow him. Yeah. I mean, like, even if I didn't hear it, he seems in distress, and Ray is not there anymore. Yeah. So, gotta go.
Wait, didn't Vayu also heard the scream, right?
No.
Vayu only knows that Rhea isn't there.
I just did, yeah.
Oh.
My little friend.
As Elsie starts running, there is a second scream. This time louder. You all hear it.
Oh, great. I'm running faster.
In the same direction?
In the same direction.
Like the same, okay.
Elsie, you have the advantage on getting there first.
Okay. I have Gibbs on my shoulder and I'm running.
Yeah, Gibbs is staying on Holland's shoulder. So, just holding on very tightly.
Oh,
you're small.
Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
You were saying that, how are you handling all of this on hearing the sound after everything that just happened? How are you reacting to all of this?
Gibbs is freaking out. Like, they were freaked out enough by, like, the car and the fortune telling that they were already, you know, like, tearing up and, like, just not able to speak. And so now they're not even, super aware of what's going on. They just know something bad is happening, and everyone's freaking out, and it's not good, and they just wanted to stop.
And how are the rest of you reacting also, as you're running through the streets of the town to get to where the scream was?
I have a very one-track mind, and it's like, oh god, I left a kid alone. Something could have happened to this kid. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, Elsie's thinking the same thing. This scream could be his sister.
Holland went also into dad mode and is like, okay, can't worry about my problems right now. There's a kid.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys all start running, and you eventually, Elsie, you swing in onto the scene first, and then the rest of you are shortly behind him. Holland, this scene seems very, very familiar, because in this alleyway, there are three individuals standing around a small blue-scaled dragonborn girl. You recognize these three men as the men who were standing around Marcella before. Mm-hmm. Except this time, they all have weapons in their hand. Everyone roll for initiative.
I have a question. Was this the person that you briefly mentioned in Gibbs' backstory episode? Who gave yes. Gibbs the note.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why are we rolling for initiative?
True. You actually surprised them, so don't roll for initiative.
Oh, I just rolled a nat 20.
That's initiative anyway.
Wasted a nat 20. Nice.
You really did.
So, Elsie, you roll up on the scene first. What do you want to do? In front of you, there is a halfling, an elf, and a human all standing around this little dragonborn girl who you had seen earlier in the crowd who were sitting there for the fortune-telling. The human has a sword out, and the elven man has a dagger out. The halfling has a small scimitar.
And none of them have noticed me?
Nope, none of them have noticed you at all.
Yeah, so Elsie would come up on the scene and just shout, "Hey, what are you doing?"
The human turns around and looks at you with his sword out and says, "Oh, great. Another one of these filthy newborns. So tired of these creatures. Don't worry, little hellspawn. We'll get to you in a second. First, I think we gotta take care of this little filthy dragonborn."
"Hellspawn. That's cute." And he pulls out his rapier. "Why don't you pick on somebody your own size?"
"Oh, we got a brave one over here. Wants to start a fight. Well, think you'll see that we're more than a match for you."
So all three of you. Fine." And he pulls out a dagger too.
Alright. The three of you run onto this scene of Rhea being in the corner. Gibbs and Vayu, you know that that's Rhea. Holland, it's just a tiny blue dragonborn girl. And you see Elsie has a dagger and a rapier out. And these three men also have weapons out. My good friend Gibbs.
Good Gibbs.
You recognize this halfling man to be Juno and Jasper's father.
Screw that just guy.
So I need everyone to roll me initiative now that everyone's here.
Can I keep my old roll?
No.
Unfortunately. Whoa.
Okay. Holland, what was your initiative?
1.
Elsie, what was your initiative?
10.
Gibbs, what was your initiative?
17.
Vayu, what was your initiative?
18.
Okay.
Vayu is motivated by rage.
I'm so angry.
I mean, it makes sense for the two of us to be, like, super reactive to Freya.
I'm going to end these people.
So, you all run into this scene, and Vayu, you immediately jump into a battle stance.
Great, okay. So, by battle stance, I'm assuming you mean, like, I ready my staff.
Yeah, you ready to attack and
great,
stuff.
Great, awesome, cool. Okay. So, like, how are they standing?
They are standing. So this alleyway, yeah, this alleyway is about, it's not super wide, but it's wide enough to get around each other.
Yeah.
They're standing in almost a V formation towards, like, no, they were standing in a V formation towards Rhea. So now it's like there's two closer to you and one further in the back.
Okay.
The one furthest in the back is the human who had been talking to Elsie. Mm-hmm. The one on the left looking down this alleyway is the elf, and the one on the right is the halfling.
Okay.
All of them have weapons and all of them look ready.
Great.
What do you want to do?
Cool. Okay. God, how angry do I want to... Whatever, I'm just going to go for it. I'm filled with a rage right now.
Not a barbarian.
Yeah, let's say too bad you're not a barbarian.
Unfortunately, not a barbarian. However,
multi-class.
Vi's a barbarian now, guys. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to take my staff. Okay, yeah, I'm just going to be harsh. Okay. And I'm going to... So, wait, okay, so it's the elf and the halfling?
Mm-hmm. Are the closest to.
Great. So I'm going to take my staff and I'm going to try to hit the halfling, like, against a wall of the alleyway. Do you know what I mean?
All right.
Like, slam.
Yeah, roll the hit for me, then.
Yeah. That is 14.
That is 14? You hit. Roll me damage.
Great. That is 9 damage.
Jesus
Christ. Nice.
I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah. And I want you to answer this honestly to me. Are you killing him?
See, that was, like, my question. I'm gonna say I wasn't holding back.
So you're... Okay. All right. So, you see Rhea, and in a flurry of anger, you rush forward with your staff. And you spin and slam your staff right into his head, smashing it straight into the wall. He collapses.
Which one was that?
This is the halfling.
Not the one who was talking to me.
Not the one who was talking to you. Yeah.
Cool.
As you do that, both the elf and the human give you these angry looks.
Good.
And the human says, "You're gonna regret that, feller."
Okay.
You, and... Rock Gnome.
Wait.
You can go. You're not involved here.
Wait. Okay.
Yes.
So, can I...
Bonus attack?
Yeah.
Yes, can.
Can I use a lovely... Okay, so can
flurry
I use...
Flurry of Blows?
Yeah, can I use Flurry of Blows on someone else?
Yes, you can. Yeah, that's a bonus action.
Psst, don't kill the human. Don't kill the human.
Don't kill the human?
No, kill the other one.
Okay.
That's metagaming.
It's okay, I was gonna hit the elf anyway. He's closer to me. I'm assuming.
Right. Let him roll the hit then.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so I'm gonna make... Oh yeah, duh, I need to roll. Do I need to roll twice? Yes.
For Flurry of Blows, yes, because you try to hit twice.
Twice, yeah, okay. First one's a 16. Right. Second one's also a 16.
So... You swing both times at him, and you take your quarterstaff, and after slamming this halfling into the wall, you spin your staff around and go to strike this elf. But both times, he very nimbly dodges out of the way of your staff.
A 16! But dad!
After that, it is Gibbs's turn.
is the guy... gonna say the thing?
Yeah, he said the thing.
Sorry.
Can you say it again?
I'm sorry.
You there, Rock Gnome. You're not involved here. You're not one of these disgusting creatures. You can go ahead and leave.
No! And Gibbs is gonna, like, reach back to grab their gun. And they, like, their hands are shaking, so they almost drop it, but they manage to catch it. Last second, and they're gonna... Who's the one who said that?
That's the human.
The human?
Mm-hmm.
Well then... But the elf is closer to Freya, right?
You mean Rhea? Yes.
Rhea, yeah. Okay, no, Gibbs is gonna shoot the human.
Roll me to hit.
Okay. What do I add? Question. Sorry. What do I add to this again?
I don't know. These are your rules.
I know. I'm so sorry. We'll just see how this goes. This will be my bad, and I just won't add. And it's a nat 20. Doesn't matter anyway.
Okay. So after this shaking movements, you hold out your gun and you fire it at this man. Roll me damage.
Alright, so when we do nat 20s, are we going to take whatever we roll and double it, or are we rolling twice?
Take whatever you roll and double it, just for...
Okay, so this does thickness. 2d6 damage, and that's 5, so 10.
10. Alright. Yeah. So, what does this... When the gun goes off, what does it look like?
Okay. So, there's kind of, like... This is still kind of like the beginning of Gibbs making this, so it's not perfect. If Gibbs continued to work on it, it'd be a lot less showy. But when they shoot it basically does make like a pretty loud, like booming sound, and there's also like a puff of smoke that comes out, you know, when the bullet flies out. The sound is probably a lot deeper than it should be, considering it's fairly small. But it is that, yeah.
All right. So you guys all see this sort of mini explosion with a thunderous sound from Gibbs's little gun. and you watch as suddenly this man is holding his chest as this round pierces his skin, but he is still standing. So the one who is the furthest in the alleyway right now is Vayu, who just killed the halfling.
Yeah.
Or knocked him unconscious. Might have done something to him. We'll find out. And so the human walks up to you with his sword out, and he's going to attack you. That is a 17 to hit, sorry.
That hits.
Yikes.
Darn.
You are going to take 5 damage.
Okay.
And then he swings at you again. And that misses.
Thank God.
So he runs up to you after having seen you kill the halfling, and he swings his scimitar, his sword at you, and it strikes you across the back. But as you feel that, you realize you are now surrounded by enemies, so you immediately spin around, dodging his second attack.
Cool.
Up next is going to be Elsie. What do you want to do?
So the human is facing away from me? Or he's just facing Vayu?
He's facing Vayu. Not okay. Away from you, but okay. Facing Vayu.
Can I get behind him? Or no?
Is this for sneak attack?
Sneak attack doesn't matter. I just need to be near Vayu for sneak attack. I just want to be behind him. Because it adds drama.
You can get behind him.
The flare.
Yeah, you can get behind him.
Okay, then I'm going to use both my action and my bonus action to stab both the rapier and the dagger into his back.
Alright.
Nice.
Alright, roll me to hit.
Great. The first one's a nat 20.
Hey!
Alright.
And that's with the rapier. Mm-hmm. And the second one is a 12, which I don't get any bonuses to because that's a bonus action, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the second one's a 12. Does that hit?
No.
Okay, great.
So, when you step around him, he can feel you sort of... He knows that you're there. And when you go to swing with your sword, he dodges out of the way for the nat 20, and it strikes the elf behind him. You can still deal your damage, but it is to the elf.
That, okay.
He has a reaction move that allows him to do this.
So it is... So I roll damage...
Mm-hmm. You roll it once and double it.
And do I still get sneak attack? Even
yes.
Yeah, okay, great. Yes. So it's a 6, so 12, and then a 4 on sneak attack. Do I double that as well?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so it's a total of 20.
Do you want to kill this man?
No.
So you stab your rapier forward, and the human dodges nimbly out of the way, but puts his friend in the line of fire. And it strikes his friend in the side, and you watch as he sort of grabs his side and begins to collapse. The only person left is the man with the sword, the human. And next up is Holland. You've just watched both the halfling and the elf get their butts kicked, and the human is left. The human is damaged from Gibbs's gun.
How close is the human to the little dragonborn child?
He's say 5 feet in front of her.
5 feet in front of her.
So like there's one space between them.
Alright. So first thing I'm gonna do is after, because Vayu just like demolished this one guy, I'm gonna run over to this guy, crouch down, touch him, and cast Spare the Dying.
On who? The halfling?
The halfling. The one who is knocked out.
Okay. Great. Didn't kill a man today.
He's not up, he's just stable. So he's not dead. Right. If he was still alive. If he was already dead, then he did.
I appreciate it.
But I don't know right now. Because I can't tell right now. But then I'm going to like look over and reach out a hand and cast Sanctuary, because Spare the Dying was a cantrip. I can cast my for a bonus action Sanctuary at first level, and on Rhea, the little dragonborn, and it's like a little shiny like glimmer of gold light like glimmers over her body and then dissipates, and it's just like a... I'm going to scream, run!
Alright. Rhea hears you say that and sort of shakes a little bit and then sprints away. She does give Vayu a look as she runs away. So, we are back up to the top of the round with Vayu.
Okay. Okay. How close am I to the human?
You're right up against him. He tried to attack you last round.
Duh, I forgot. Okay, cool. I'm gonna kick him in the stomach.
Alright, roll the hit, please.
But I always try to roll my damage before I roll the hit. I just, like, forget. Oh, that's a 12.
You try to hit him, but it strikes off of the armor that he's wearing and doesn't hurt him. He looks at you and says, "Try again, filthy Genasi."
Okay, fine. Fine, then I will.
Burn those key points.
Burn those key points. I better not need them later, because they're going right now. I'm going to do Flurry of Blows again. I'm going to try to punch him, just like a No one can see what I'm doing with
Give
my
him
hand.
The one, too. Give just, him the one.
Ollie yeah. is punching the camera.
I'm punching my laptop directly. All right, cool. Yeah, Flurry of Blows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's a 22. And
stop killing people.
17.
So the first one was a 24?
22.
Okay, the 22 hits, the 17 misses.
Okay, I got one.
So you get a good punch in on this guy, but when you go for the second one, he's ready for it and steps out of the way.
Cool.
Roll me damage.
Yeah, that is 5.
Nice. I think you rolled a 1 on that, correct?
I rolled a 2 on that.
Alright. Good times. So, yay. Next up is Gibbs. There is one man on the floor, the halfling. There's mm-hmm. another leaning against a wall, clutching their wound.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea is gone, and there's the final human who has been sort of dodging out of the attacks. Only been hit by Vayu once and your gun.
Okay, Gibbs is gonna try and shoot him again, specifically aiming for, like, a leg, trying to get him to, like, fall down, you know?
Yeah. Alright, roll the hit.
Oh, well, that's a, 7.
Oh, good.
It hits! No, it misses. Alright, is there anything else you'd like to do?
I don't know, no, I think Gibbs is freaking out too much, like, they were surprised that they could shoot the guy the first time. They're scared now that Vayu is basically killing people. So they're just still just holding on as tightly to Holland as they can.
Alright. With that, it is the man's turn. And he sees you, Holland, sort of standing in the corner, and he sees you use your magic on the halfling, and he looks at you and says, "You get on away from him, you filthy weaver," and he throws a dagger at you from his pocket. That is going to be a 16 to hit.
Question: would yes. I have my armor on right now?
I don't think you would, because it's the festival.
I didn't think so either. So
yeah, I don't think like you would have hung out with Quinn and everyone with your armor chilling on.
Yeah, so my armor class be 10 plus dex, which is minus 1, so it's a 9.
Okay, so this hits. You watch as this human throws a dagger at you, and it flies towards your face, and your hands instinctively move upwards to cover your face, but the blade never hits you. As you bring your hands down, you can smell the scent of something burning, and in front of your face there is now this flaming shield that has blocked this dagger. And then the shield disappears. Elsie, it is now your turn. All of you see this, by the way.
But no one's there?
No, no one's there.
So what do I see?
You just saw this flaming shield appear in front of Holland after yes. this dagger was thrown at him. And you can see that the man looks very frustrated at Holland, at the fact that, one, he's using magic on his friend, two, that he was able to block that attack somehow. What do you want to do?
You're not gonna give this up, are you?
I never give up to you filthy newborns.
Do you think we asked for this? Do you think we wanted it?
I don't care if he asked for it. You all need to be cleansed.
Maybe you need to be cleansed. And he just swipes again.
Alright, roll the hit.
Okay. Natural 20 part 2.
Hey!
Nice. Okay.
What the heck?
Ollie, you're the only one who hasn't rolled a nat 20. Wait, have you?
No. Mine got... Mm.
Your nat 20 got vetoed.
Yeah.
Am I rolling?
Do you want to roll the attack again? Or do you just want to roll damage?
I mean, I can... Should I roll the bonus action?
Roll damage and we'll see what's happened.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
You
still have sneak attack, by the way.
That sucks. It would total of 4.
Aww.
Total of 4.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Did you add your modifier and everything to that?
I added sneak attack. It's 1d8. Mm-hmm. Oh, plus dex.
Yeah, plus dex.
Okay, so it's a total of 6.
Better.
6, okay. So, I have a question for you again. Are you going to kill this man?
No.
No, okay. So you swing your rapier at him, and instead of going for, like, a throat or anything, you see a crack in his armor near his knee, and you just slice right through it, and he collapses to the ground. You all are out of initiative. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I gotta go and chase after Rhea, so bye!
Peace. All right.
Take off running wherever she went to.
Vayu sprints away.
I immediately grab the halfling, throw him over my shoulder, and then walk over. Gibbs, I'm putting Gibbs down first. Gibbs on the ground. Boop.
Gibbs on the ground. Gibbs
throwing
on the ground.
Halfling on my shoulder, who is knocked out, and go and grab like the human and grab him by the back of the neck and be like, Elsie, can you grab the other one and drag him? We need to go to the temple now.
Fine.
We need these men to get help.
Right. Elsie would pick him up.
Alright. So, Gibbs, what are you doing while this is happening?
Gibbs is just standing really, really still right now. Not really registering what's going on. But they're scared, so they're just going to stay close to Holland. Especially since, like, Holland has the halfling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're just gonna stay close to Holland.
So you guys start running off to the temple, while Vayu, you run off to find Rhea.
Split the party.
Sorry.
In character.
WWVD, what would Vayu do?
Vayu, we're gonna go to you first. Where are you going? To try and find Rhea. She had a head start on you, so where are you heading?
Okay, so she ran like down the alleyway.
Yep.
And then like does it split off?
Yeah, it splits off.
Okay, where?
This area opens up towards, you guys were in the north side of town, so it opens up also to the north. It leads into these two, it basically forks. One forks right, one forks left. You know that one way leads towards the orphanage, the other way leads towards the center of town, where, like, the rest of the festival is happening.
Okay. I'm gonna check the orphanage first, because most people are out, so it'd probably be easy to find her if she was in there. Yeah?
All right.
Sounds good? Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's where I'm gonna go.
So you sprint off towards the orphanage. You're running as fast as you can. What are you thinking while you're heading through this area? Where is Vayu's brain at?
I'm angry because of what those guys said. I'm like, okay, actually, I'm like furious because not because they said it to me, but because they said it to her, and she's just a little kid, and she didn't do anything, and they were going to kill her. And that makes me furious. And that's, right. like, what's fueling me right now.
Yeah. So you run to the orphanage, and you can see that the front door is actually open.
Okay.
I'm assuming you go to Rhea's room.
Yes.
Okay. You run through this orphanage, you run up the stairs to get to Rhea's room, and you see that the room to her door is open.
Okay.
Roll me perception when you enter the room.
Okay. That's 11.
Okay. So running into the room, you can hear a soft gasp and someone moving backwards from under Rhea's bed.
So I take my staff and I put it outside the door. Like, I just make sure, I make it, like, very clearly, like, outside the room. And I sit down on the ground and I look under the bed.
You can see Rhea is under the bed with tears in her eyes. And she sees you and says, Fayu, you're here.
I came as quickly as I could, honey. Are you okay? Did they hurt you at all?
No, they didn't hurt me, but I was scared.
I know. Do you want to come here?
She just crawls out from under the bed and jumps into your arms. And the tears just begin to tear through her.
Okay. I just kind of, like, hold her and, like, maybe pat the top of her head. And it's really hard for Vayu to keep it together, too. Like, seeing a kid and they're terrified as well now that they got here and she's safe and the adrenaline's kind of leaving them. They're just terrified at what they just did, and they just kind of almost cry too, and just kind of, like, hold her and pet her head and just kind of, like, shush her.
All right. I think that's where we leave that scene with you sort of holding on to Rhea and being supportive of her as she's went through this experience. And we're gonna go ahead and flash over to the rest of you now. You've been dragging these people through the town. We're not gonna go through, like, any of the actual
but yes. Like, so along the way, Elsie, like, calms down and is like, wait, why are we... He says, wait, why are we helping them?
Because they don't deserve to die.
I don't know if I necessarily agree or disagree, but why should I help them?
Because if we don't help them, who will? We saw that what happened, we were a part of it, we need to help them and see that they get handled in the proper way.
And what would have happened to us? Huh? In their position?
We can't think about that.
Why not?
Because that's not us. We need to make decisions for ourselves, not for them. If they would have left us bleeding out, then that's what they would have done.
They wouldn't have left us bleeding out. They would have killed us.
But this makes us better people. Is the guy on my shoulders breathing?
Do you want to stop and check?
Let me stop in the middle of town square and check real quick.
Like, you start bringing this guy to the temple to heal him. He might be dead.
I feel like with this conversation with Elsie, like, questioning this, I would have stopped and, like, addressed him and been like, we are doing
this.
Yeah,
because Elsie would have stopped as well. Because he would have, like, right. just blindly followed for a minute and then stopped and said, like, hey. So, I think we would have been stopped.
Roll me a medicine check.
Oh, I'm good at it.
Oh, good.
Don't jinx yourself.
That's 16.
16. He's breathing, but barely. He needs medical attention now, or he is going to die.
I'm gonna do the best I can. So, like, as soon as, like, Elsie, like, I stop with that conversation with Elsie. I listen for breath. I hear he's, like, struggling. And then, like, I'm going to cast Healing Word. But for me, it's not, like, really a word. It's, like, an exhale and, like, embers come out of my mouth and, like, towards them. So, I'm going to, like, Healing Word with, like, hot embers. My
so you
hot breath.
Lean over him and you breathe these hot embers onto his body. And you see some of his wounds heal. Actually, roll me how much you actually heal him for.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the d4. Oh. That's 5 HP.
Alright. You see some of his wounds begin to stitch up, but he is still in critical condition.
Okay.
He took a very hard hit to the head twice. So there might be more damage than you may know.
So then as soon as I'm like I do that, I'm going to turn and keep walking.
Alright. Gibbs, what are you doing during the scene? Because you're with Holland.
Gibbs isn't doing anything, please. Gibbs isn't interfering. Gibbs wants as little to do with this as possible.
Alright. Elsie, what do you do?
Elsie is still stopped. And he looks at Holland, who is walking away from him. And looks at the guy who's, like, slung over his shoulder. And says, "You're lucky. I should have killed you both." And then follows Holland.
You three make it to the temple. There are no stairs or anything up to the temple. I've mentioned that a few times, actually. So there's no painful dragging across that.
Oh, but man.
Getting to in bounce him a couple open times. Doors, you see that the only person in this open room is the keeper of the temple. Keeper Nazah, spelled N-A-Z-A, for those who are curious. She is a female half-elf. She is a paladin of mud. You, Holland, know her pretty well. But she is the only person in this room, and she looks at you both and Gibbs with the three people you're carrying, and her eyes go wide. And she looks at you all and says, "Was there an attack on the city? Was it goblins? What's going on?"
"I'll explain later. Just, we need your help, Nazah."
She runs over and picks up the armored human with just one arm, throws him over her shoulder, and runs back to the medical wing with you guys in tow. Once you guys get there, the medical wing is pretty empty. There are a few people who are here just for, like, a cough or something, or they got a splinter from the festival, but there's not a lot of clerics running around. Getting there, you can see that Nathaniel isn't here. He has the day off. He was at the festival all day. But your mother is there, Elsie, and she sees you all run in, and she immediately runs over. She gives you this look, and it's like she's about to say something to you, but then she just shakes her head and begins grabbing things she needs for the treatments to try and heal these people. Keeper Nazah looks at you all and says, "You all should stay here. I will send someone to go get Captain Akira, and we will all talk about what's happened here. But for now, we're focusing on saving these men's lives."
Elsie drops the guy to the ground and walks out the and just like waits outside of the medical wing.
All right.
I want to make it clear that he like drops him, like he just.
Yeah. You just drop him. Gibbs and Holland, are you doing anything?
As soon as I pass off like the two guys to the healers, I like go down to one knee and like start like turning Gibbs in my like in like, front of me. I'm like, "Gibbs, are you hurt? Are you how are you feeling? Are you what happened? Are you okay?"
And Gibbs just keeps stuttering for a long time, and then they just like shake their head. No. Like
as soon as Holland sees it like there's nothing wrong like physically with him with them, like he just like turns them facing them and just like pulls them in for a big hug and is just like, "I'm so sorry you had to go through that. You shouldn't have been there."
And Gibbs immediately, like, starts, like, sniffling into your shirt.
Gibbs, as you're sniffling, you're hit with the stench of something burnt as you were hugging Holland. It is this overwhelming burnt smell. It's very, very powerful and overwhelming.
Then Gibbs kind of pushes Holland back from the hug, and is kind of like looking on his shirt to see if there are any burn marks.
You have like a high collared shirt, right?
Yeah,
like it covers most of your. You don't see any burn marks or anything. Holland, you now smell this burning scent again.
What does that smell?
Do you want to look over yourself?
Yeah. Just, like, pat and make sure everything's, like, good.
So you pat yourself down, looking for what might be causing this stench, and your hand stops at your neck. Because the good luck charm that Floor gives you every week is burned.
Can I, like, feel and, like, sense any kind of magic to it?
Roll me Arcana.
I don't want to use my last spell slot, but I could just identify it. That's an 18.
You don't sense any magic on it, but it is possible it once had magical properties.
Does Gibbs see you, like, looking over this lucky charm, would you say, or no?
I would think so, because I, like, usually it'd be, like, tucked underneath the collar, so I would have to pull it out and look at it. So, yeah.
Okay, then Gibbs just kind of, like, rubs a tear from his face, and then just from their face, and then just kind of, like, holds out their hands because they want to see it.
I'll pull it off my neck and pass it to them.
Okay, and so they take it, and I also want to roll a check on it. But I have a question for you, Russ. I have this thing called Artificer's Lore, where any history-related check to a magical, alchemical, or techie items, I get 2 times my proficiency bonus to the check. Could I argue that that'd be a proper check for this item?
So it was magical, alchemical, and tech?
Yeah.
Yes, you can use that.
Cool. I'm gonna do that. See the history. That would be 18.
18?
Yeah.
This is a history check, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Gibbs, you look over this bag, this pouch. It is small, fits in your palm, and it's connected to this leather strap.
That's really small.
Are you, like, taking it apart or anything? Or
what was that?
Are you, like, taking it apart or anything, or just looking at the bag?
I mean, yeah, I guess we'd be thoroughly investigating this thing to try and learn as much as they can.
It's burnt. So, useless now.
It's burnt.
Opening the bag, you see that inside there are what looks like ash. Just a lot of ash inside of it. Looking at it, you remember something you were told of once. This group of magic users that were outside of the normal group, who didn't use actual magic the way that other people did. They didn't weave spells. They made items. They weren't artificers, though. They never used technology. They were something else. But you can't remember what it's called. It's this old, old organization that, from what you last heard, was destroyed years ago, but centuries ago.
Okay. So to get this straight, I know it's made...
the one thing we're getting straight.
Zing.
Got him.
Snaps.
Episode 2, everyone.
We've burned ourselves.
I'm sorry, Sam.
Continue.
So, to clarify, Gibbs knows gives the news that this, whatever it was a magic thing that was created by a group of magic users centuries ago who just made magic things. I'm a little confused about what you mean by, like, they're not artificers, but they still made magic things.
They don't. So artificers can make things with technology. They can make magic items that last centuries, years, millennia.
Mm-hmm.
This is a magic item that's meant to be temporary. It's not meant to last forever.
Okay. So, like, would Gibbs know, like, what it was? If it, like, right now it's just ash, so if it wasn't made out of,
yeah,
like,
it's just ash.
Okay.
You don't know.
Interesting. All right.
As this is happening, you hear someone shouting in the other room. Holland, you recognize this shouting as Nathaniel's voice. As Nathaniel runs past Elsie, who's waiting in the other room, into the medical ward, carrying Floor, who has a long gash across her face.
I stand up and run over to Nathaniel. I'm like, what happened to her? Why is she? What happened? Who did this?
I don't know. We were talking. We were having a conversation, and suddenly, her face split open. I don't know why it happened. And he begins running in and grabs a bowl of holy water and begins starting, like, casting magic on her to try and help her.
Can I say that when this is happening, Gibbs is freaking out and decides to run away?
Yeah, totally.
And Gibbs does that. Like, there's so more Gibbs hurt people, and Gibbs is freaking out. This scene. So, yeah, Gibbs runs out and is specifically running. Well, is specifically running to the orphanage.
We're literally split four different ways now.
not quite. Because they want to find Evie.
Would Gibbs run past Elsie?
I mean, I guess Elsie's waiting, yes, right outside, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just curious. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know. If, I mean, he's not gonna, like, do anything to stop him. Stop.
Yeah,
him.
I like that Elsie watched someone with a hurt person run in, and then Gibbs just leave. And he's, yeah, like, checks out.
So,
I mean, what's he gonna do about it?
That's fair.
Nathaniel begins his treatment. Holland, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out, like, how much of a connection Holland is aware of with this, because Kyle knows exactly what happened, or, like, Kyle thinks he knows exactly what happened. But I'm just like, what is connecting the dots right now?
Well, remember the fact that Gibbs hasn't had a chance to tell you this information yet, mm-hmm, and you've just witnessed someone you've considered a friend, family member, appear in this place.
But I do know,
cut straight across their face,
that the shield was completely not Holland. He doesn't know where that came from.
Yeah,
I know that mm-hmm, after that there's a burning, like, the charm that Fleur made for him is completely burnt to a crisp, and that she came in with a slash across her face where Holland was attacked. So I think there are some dots that could be connected.
Yeah, but my question is Holland putting them together? Or is Holland too stressed out by what's happening? If you think he knows, then he knows. But what is Holland actually doing while Nathaniel begins his treatment?
He's just going to kneel by Fleur's side and just, like, hold her hand and just, like, please, please be okay. Please be okay. And
all right.
He's going to look to Nathaniel and be like, do you know where Quinn is?
I left Quinn with Genevieve and Aster.
And she's all right?
She's fine. She's shaken because she wasn't expecting it, but she's fine.
And Genevieve and Aster are both alright too.
Yes, they're okay. Once they're just watching over Quinn, trying to keep her safe, but I don't understand what's going on. Why are you here?
We ran into three men attacking this little girl, and we stopped them, but they got hurt in the process, so I brought them here to get help.
Were they tourists? Who were they?
They were the men that I saw a few months ago.
With Marcella?
Yes.
He continues his treatment, and you can see he's holding the water against this wound, and the wound begins to stitch up. And he doesn't say anything to you. He seems very pensive right now. We're going to jump over to Elsie. Elsie, you... Actually, what are you doing?
So, Elsie watched as Nathaniel and Fleur, he wouldn't know who they were, but yeah, whatever, ran past him. And then as Gibbs, ran out, he kind of, he looks at the medical wing door and is like, why am I still here? So he just leaves and goes to the Oakshade Cafe and hopes that Dante and Annalise would be there.
So you head to the Oakshade Cafe, and when you walk in, you see...
Split the party.
Yeah, even more.
Looks exactly how it was. When you were here earlier today, but so many things have happened. And you see that Annalise and Dante are sitting at your table, and Simon's there too. They see you walk in, and they sort of both give you a wave. Are you trying to hide? How are you reacting to everything that's happening? Are you just, sauntering in like you normally do? Do you have, a more intense look on your face? Are you trying to hide anything?
I think that he, as he's walking, he's kind of freaking out. He doesn't know, he's angry, and he just wants to go. He just wants to leave and go somewhere. He doesn't know where, but he just he's ready to go. And and he walks into the cafe and just the biggest sigh of relief comes from him when he sees the three of them sitting there.
So I'm going to say, because of that sigh of relief and how you've described it, that they notice, or at least Annalise and Dante do. And as they see you enter the cafe and you approach, Annalise looks at Simon and says, Simon, could you get us some snacks, please? Here, have a gold piece. Buy whatever you want. And Simon hops up and says, sure, Annalise, I got it! And runs up to the counter to go buy snacks. And Annalise looks at you and says, Elsie, what's going on? What happened?
I don't want to talk about it. Are you guys ready to go?
With that, Annalise sits back. And Dante leans forward and says, about that, Elsie, we wanted to talk to you, but we couldn't find the right time.
You didn't raise the money, did you?
You're talking about leaving Regan, aren't you? It's not the money, Elsie.
Then what is it?
Annalise is pregnant. They and I are going to be parents. And, we can't go on an epic adventure with a child, and we want to have the child together.
How long have you known?
About a month after we had that talk. We found out.
And you waited this long to tell me?
We couldn't find the right moment.
We were supposed to leave. He stops. And he's holding, you can tell that he's holding back tears. His voice just breaks and he looks at the ground.
Elsie, I'm sorry. We wanted to tell you sooner, but we didn't know how. Dante looks at you. We can't go, Elsie. Annalise and I have talked, and we want to stay in Ragon. This place may be boring, but we can raise a child here. One who will be taken care of.
Elsie takes off a ring that he has on. It's nothing important, nothing spectacular, something he would have won in a game or something. Puts it on the table and says, "A gift for the baby," and walks out.
You hear Annalise and Dante shouting after you, but you walk out and you leave. And you hear Simon turn around and say, "Wait!" But you're gone.
Hello, you wonderful people. It's Sam, the voice of Gibbs, and I am definitely not sick right now, so if my voice sounds a little hoarse, then you're hearing things. So, I would like to thank everyone for downloading and listening to Prism Pals. This episode was a lot of fun to make. I was finally able to let Gibbs use their gun, and that fight was just jam-packed full of emotion for everybody. So, if you enjoyed this episode, please continue to download and listen to future episodes. You can find us on Twitter at Prism Pals, on Instagram at Prism_Pals, and like us on Facebook at Prism Pals Podcast. You will also be able to find transcriptions of each episode on Tumblr at prismpals.tumblr.com. We would also like to thank Neil Martin for his wonderful work on our opening music, Hope on the Horizon. If you enjoyed that, you can find him and more of his music and other work on Twitter at Bardic Martin. There's also a very special artist that I am going to talk about in this artist spotlight. So, over to Sam to tell you about that artist. Today, I am here to tell you about a talented artist named Sadie. Sadie is an artist, cosplayer, and aspiring musician who I actually had the pleasure of meeting at a convention a few months ago. So not only are they super talented, but they're also sweet and funny, and basically just a blast to be around. And I'll be honest, I don't actually recognize many of the characters they cosplay, but, you know, I didn't need to recognize them just to appreciate the fact that they were so well done. My personal favorite is one of the cosplays I do recognize, which is Taka from the Adventure Zone. I just really like the design that they came up with. It was pretty cool. And lucky for you, they are taking commissions. Their art is really cute, so you should look into that. You can find them on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, all at Gay Fairy Prince. So go support them. They deserve it. And that's all I have for you today. So go out there, check out Sadie, reach out to them, and then tell us what you like about their art, because it's super cute and super cool. Alright, bye! Wow, Sam, thanks! I can't wait to check out Sadie and all their wonderful work. So everyone, please leave us a review on iTunes, and remember to share us with all your friends. So I will see you next time, and goodbye!